pretty self-explanatory. It's the tradition. Every Black Friday, and I guess this ends this year. Sad. We'll play Nebraska in the future too, though. We'll bring this guy on every single time we do. It's Jeremiah Searles. He's great content, great times. Every time he comes on, even though he's got the Husker background, he's a good guy. Provides a great podcast. You guys are going to love it as always. Let's have a day. Let's go. Black Friday, Thanksgiving week tradition, the Jeremiah Searles, every Hawkeye's favorite Husker, needs a t-shirt with that on.
Good to be back. I would wear that. I would wear that.
Every Hawkeye's favorite
Husker. Every Hawkeye's favorite Husker. I would 100% wear that.
Is there somebody that's actually given you any competition? I mean, not to say that our audience and our reach is fully program-wide for on either side, but find me another Husker that Iowa fans would like more. I don't know who that would be.
I don't think there's many.
Scott Frost, maybe?
Scott, yeah, maybe. I think Scott would maybe go be up there.
He was great to us.
Yeah, he was really good to you guys. Maybe
and a lot of people, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, probably anyone on the Husker defense from the years of like 2015 to 2021, somewhere in there. Like a couple of those guys, you know, a couple of the safeties that didn't want to tackle, all those fun things. Let Smith Marset run reverses. Those guys are probably from pretty fun Huskers.
It's so confusing because, like, you guys always had, like, even in the bad years, you guys had good talent.
Yeah, and that was always part of the issue, right? We'd recruit well, we'd have good talent. There'd be all the pieces would be there, and then it'd just be dysfunction. And I'm not even gonna say like we're out of that yet. Right. We went on a big skid. We went on a big skid here in the middle of the year. Now we're going bowling and it's almost like, oh, all is forgiven. It's like, no, we can't forget the middle part of the season. It wasn't good. Like
we're gonna get there.
It wasn't great, but no, it's good to be back. I mean, I texted you guys last week. I was like, what, no invite to the pod? What?
Yeah,
this is tradition, my friend.
For the listeners out there like everybody else, us included, assume that this was probably going to be the case. Searles hit me up before I even had a chance. He goes, what, no invite? I was like, dude, chill.
Listen, I'm a big calendar guy now. Right? I got three kids. I got shit going on. If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen. It
doesn't happen.
Right? If it's not, if I can't pull up my Google calendar and go, oh, this is up for this week, it usually doesn't happen. So
are you and your wife sharing a calendar there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're
color coordinated, like, right? I'm sage, she's banana, both kids is tangerine, full family is flamingo, right? my work stuff is blue, and oh yeah, her work stuff is a different, like, we have the full, my calendar gives, if I showed you my calendar, you just have anxiety. Yeah. Like, it's just color coordinated out the ass, all the way full, and oh yeah. But it's the only way we could find a way to, like, manage our lives.
Dude, you're dialed in.
You have to be. As I get older, I'm like, I used to make fun of calendar people, but now that I'm in my early 30s, I'm like totally about it. All about the calendar.
I use it for my work, like more like not on a macro level, but like here's what I have for the week or here's what I have for the month. It's helpful with like training clients too. Like when do they need new training? When do they need certain nutrition things? But my wife and I aren't to the level where it's necessary yet. She keeps we keep one like on the fridge. It's got like a general, but
wait, you start adding kid activities.
Yeah.
Cause that's where, I mean, it's like Oliver has basketball practice tonight from 8 to 9, right?
Oh my goodness.
That Emma's taking him to. Aylin has gymnastics on Wednesdays. Graham has swim on Mondays, right? Like, so once the kid stuff starts getting thrown in there and you got to schedule around the kid stuff, that's when it starts going off the rails.
How much do you love it? That you're in the thick of just...
It's great. I mean, it's so funny. Like, my mom will call me, or like I was talking to one of my clients' dads the other day. He gave me a call after one of the games on Saturday or Sunday. And we were just chit-chatting, and like, it was just chaos in the house. Like, kids are running, and it doesn't faze me, right? Like, it's just white noise.
That's your life.
Yeah. And he's like, man, sounds like you got a lot going on over there. I was like, no, it's just a Sunday afternoon. I just... kind of how things go, right? And even my mom, like, well, she'll call my mom and every time she's like, it sounds busy over there. I'm like, yeah, I've got 3 children under 5. I'm running a new company. I've got a podcast that I'm launching. Emma's working. Like, it's hunting season. Yeah, it's a busy time of year.
It's hunt. I love that one. It's hunting season.
Dude, if I my count, speaking of the calendar, all of last week was just rifle season through the entire thing.
Just blocked out.
Blocked out.
How is that camo? Hmm? Yeah. Is that camo?
No, it was sage because it's my color. So
ah, okay. Nice.
Searle's color.
How do you swing that one with the wife? Like, hey, this week I know
I took her. So the way I swung it this year was I was like, hey, I want to take you out one night. I want to take Oliver out one night. I want to take Aylin out one night. Right. And then I'm going to go a couple times by myself.
Of course.
Right. So there's ways to mix it in there. Like Thanksgiving, I want to go out and duck hunt Thanksgiving morning. So I'm like, hey, what if I take the older two?
Yeah.
Like if I take the older two, can I go out and like take them out of the house? You can start prepping. And she's like, oh, yeah.
Because now you're presenting it as
a great idea.
Yeah. Benefit to her.
It's a benefit to her. Right. And I shot a doe this year on Wednesday. I didn't get a buck this year, but it was when she came with me, the wife. And so we're sitting in the blind and she's like, you're not very good at this. I was like, I just have to wait for the deer to come. Like, I can't like call the deer. And so we're sitting there. And it's right like 5:05. So like the last 30 minutes is when anything happens anyways. And she's like, look, and I turn around, two deer run across the field, two does. So I get the gun all turned around and I'm over there looking and I don't see him. And I'm like, gosh, damn it. And then I turn back to where I was looking. And there's a doe just walking like 30 yards away. So I'm like, oh, this is happening. And so I turn around with the gun. And she's like, oh, hold on, let me put my earphones on. I was like, you have 2 seconds. And then I was like, so then I did the like, and it turned, and I was like, oh, she's dead. And she ran like 20 yards and died. And she was like, oh, now I'm kind of sad. I was like, well, wait until we go over there and the insides have to come outside. Yeah. Right. And she's like, yeah. Oh, so I made her like, I was like, come here and hold it. She's like, it's bloody. I was like, I need you to hold the legs. So she's holding the legs as I'm cleaning the deer. But she's been great. I mean, she wanted to make the move of processing all our own meat. So and like I bring it home, hang it in the garage, skin it, cool it, and then we cut it up, debone it, and process, grind the whole thing and do it all at the house. So that's been really cool.
Wow.
She wanted to do it. It saves money. Like, cause I don't trust meat lockers. Like, I don't.
The older we get, I don't know if I trust anybody that's right? making any of our food.
I completely agree. Right. Like when I drop, because I'm meticulous of how I take care of my deer. Like I get it cooled immediately. Like I make sure all the guts are out, everything's hung, dried. Like, and so if I take 70 pounds of deer meat to the locker and I'm like, hey, I want sticks or I want jerky or I want some roast or whatever it is, and I don't get it back till like March, because that's what I had when I shot my first deer. I was like, how do I know this isn't some dick's deer that shot it, didn't skin it, left it in the back of his truck for 2 days and then brought it in and was like, hey, I want some meat sticks. I don't want that. I don't trust that. So I'll do it myself.
Yeah. Did your wife grow up around hunting?
Oh, gosh, or like, no. She's a California girl.
Oh, wow.
And she, to be fair, like she didn't understand what I said when I was like, no, I hunt a lot until I was done with football.
Okay.
Oh. Right. Like, because it was football season. You right. And all her. She knew was football season. Right. Yeah. All she knew was the months of August through December was.
And
football.
You were busy.
I was busy. And so as soon as I was done with football and the term of like, it's September, I'm now going to go a week long elk hunt in Colorado. Deer season's all of November. Duck season's most of December. You'll get the hang of it. And she has. She's gotten on board a little bit more because it's like my one outlet. But she's always like, you have a lot of hobbies. I was like, I don't have that many hobbies. She's like, you golf, you hunt. Like, that takes up a lot of time. I'm like, yeah, it's fair.
I'm going to start using you as my, it's not that bad. It's like a, I don't know what you would call it, but it's I saw a tweet one day that was like, you just need one friend in your friend group that's worse than you.
100%. I have one too. My buddy Sam, totally worse than I am.
That like, you can tell your wife, well, at least I'm not this guy.
Yeah, I'm not Sam. Right. Like Sam's on a 4-day golf trip right now. I'm not Sam. Right.
So now you're going to be my, well, you know, Searle's right. He goes for a week and
he's
hunts.
Got like 3 kids. Right. He leaves her home with 3 kids.
He doesn't
kids.
Even like
believe
his,
that.
He doesn't even love his children.
He doesn't even love his kids. He's out there hunting.
Because for me, it's the working out thing.
Oh,
she's like, you know, it's like Saturday. And that's when you got a lot of time on Saturday.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, well, I got 2 to 3 hours of training today because I'm a non-professional CrossFit athlete that thinks he's good.
For sure.
So It was like an hour on the Peloton. We got lifting. We got some gymnastics.
Dude, when are you going to ride the Peloton with me?
Oh, I'll ride it with you. I rode it today.
What's your normal output on a 30-minute class?
Nothing like yours, probably. Oh, and I don't – so that's the weird thing about me. So I have done classes, and 99% of people who get on the Peloton do classes. My wife does classes when she's on it. I strictly ride it for long, low, steady state, and I don't do classes.
Oh, it's no fun.
It's way more boring, but I'll throw a podcast in at least. Mm. And I just like if you go to what's it called experiences, yep. just ride.
Do you at least do like the fake trail they give you? Like the scenic,
I've done the trail. I've
views.
I've ridden through the wineries of Italy. I was in
beautiful this time of year.
Where was I? I was in somewhere in Italy one time. I followed that ride. Those are cool.
No, oh, yeah.
I have this thing about efficiency circles where if I'm on the bike for an hour, that is an opportunity for me to listen to multiple podcasts at 2x speed and listen to 2 hours worth of podcasting. Whereas if I'm doing a class, I don't really need, I'm not getting anything out of that.
Oh, dude, the leaderboard is what I do it for.
The leaderboard is grindy.
Dude, I'm all about like that is my competitive outlet.
And it's
like 100%. And my wife does not understand how I can make myself vomit off a 30 minute Peloton.
Oh, class. Yeah.
But I mean, I will push myself to be in like the top 250 of the class.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time to the point of like I'm in the backyard on hands and knees, bike shoes still on.
I love it.
Oh, dude, I can't help myself. I love the leader.
And you probably frequent the top of that thing too, because what I've learned as I've gotten more into like the bike riding for the sort of the zone two training is big guys just can put out on hammer that thing. Around. Like Ike will put he'll put up some of his zone two rides and like the average wattage that he has. And I'm just like, I can't stand a chance when he has tree trunks coming down on those pedals.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in my peak Peloton form and I used to ride with like Danny Woodhead, Eric Wood, a bunch of like the former NFL guys, Cole Kublick. Like the ESPN crew, Jeff Schwartz, and we used to get on. We had our
roster. Own thing. Oh my god!
We had a Buns of Anarchy was our clan, right? I was deep, dude. I was deep into the Peloton like, when I first retired, and I can remember I used to get like 600 plus output on a 30-minute class, like regularly. And my top one being 741 on a 30-minute class. And me and the guy were competing the whole class. We ended up tying, and I was so pissed,
Yeah. Like I'll do like 60 minutes of zone two and it comes out at like 640.
Yeah.
So I think,
my best 45 was like 989. Like I wanted to get 1,000 one time. Jesus. I think they've made it harder though. Cause I can't even scratch those numbers.
Well, and like bike to bike, I don't know if you've ever done it on a Peloton that isn't yours, but like we went down to Titan U 2 summers ago and the hotel that we were at had a Peloton. And I hopped on and I was like, my numbers are better on this. So like the calibration of the machine to machine is a little bit different. But yeah, it's a fun time. By the way, for those that aren't listening, you haven't heard Kevin's voice yet. He's going to join here in a second. It's Kevin. You guys have come to expect he might not show up. He might
late arrivals.
Yeah. I mean, he'll just
cold season.
Who knows? He's the one, by the way, who said Tuesday's ideal for me, by the way. I was like, okay, Tuesday. Hey. This is an hour later than we normally go. What could you possibly be doing on the night that
I was 5 minutes early. If you're not 5 minutes early, you're late.
And that is the way we used to operate.
Hey, it's Coach Drill Loud. It's Coach Drill Loud, my man.
Isn't that like Coughlin time or whatever? Wasn't that a thing as well? I don't know.
Yeah.
Any successful football coach's program time. Fair.
When Frost was around, they showed up right on.
Yeah, they just kind of hung out. The meeting started. One of my favorite things to do to people, because I'm a big on time guy. I tell my wife, and she's agreed, we're not late people.
No.
Because I think being late is one of the most disrespectful things you can do to another person because you're taking their time. Like if I have a meeting that I need to be at 8 o'clock and I don't show up till 8:10, I can't expect that person, if there's an hour long meeting, to go till 9:10 because they might have something at 9.
Yeah.
Right. And so I don't know. It just drives me nuts. And some of my friends are notoriously late people. And
there are some casual social situations where being like fashionably late is sort of works better. Like if it's a party or a get together and you're like, yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to be there at 8. You said started at 8. 7:55. Let me.
I understand.
First, you're the last one to leave.
Right before we hit the record button, you said your podcast was taken off. Are we talking about O-line committee stuff?
We are. Okay. Yeah, dude, the O-line committee. So we started this thing about, 18, 19 months ago, yeah. And just from scratch, like no idea what it was going to be. Just like, hey, you think anyone would like this? Maybe, I don't know. And we're knocking on the door of 30,000 subs here coming in. I think there's a really good chance by the Super Bowl we'll hit 30,000 subs, which would be awesome. And starting to roll around with that. Yeah, 20. So we're on average between like 400 and 500 subs a week right now. Wow. Which is pretty fun. And we just do really silly things and talk. We found that we have a very large Lions audience.
Oh.
And so whenever we hit Lions window or Lions pieces, like right there, 37,000 views.
Oh, yeah.
Like a couple KCs, So we've had a couple viral ones that have gone.
You guys, I've seen, obviously when you mentioned it the first time, a year and a half ago,
yeah.
I was on there and, you can tell like whoever's doing the thumbnails and the titles, like it's a game that you have to play with the algorithm.
100%. And he runs a huge media company up in Minnesota called Score North. And he's the number one, like Minnesota podcast up there. And so that's how I ran into him. But yeah, dude, it's been a ton of fun. The film breakdowns is super fun, getting to talk O-line stuff. So yeah, if you're starved for O-line content, go check out the O-line committee.
We so badly want to basically do what you guys do.
Dude, college film's tough.
It's impossible.
It's tough.
We tried this summer. We had two of the coaches on, our most connected coaches that we still talk to as far as me and Kevin and Drake. And we were like, hey, we need the All-22. We need it. You got to give it to us. And he kind of danced around. He's like, well, how many plays you need? I was like, we give us two plays.
Give us the game, man.
Give us just two plays a game. And we'd take that. We can make a video out of that. And then it got to be into the season and I'm not going to bother him for it because it's just not that important. But
it's great for the off season because that's where the content is, right? When you're just trying to make shit stick and you're like, well, maybe we can do this game or that game or whatever it is, and you just be like, hey, let's pull something up, right? Like who knows what we got here. So keep at it, because it definitely we would not be anywhere where we would be if we didn't have the film breakdowns.
And you guys are primarily a YouTube show.
Yeah, like we're all YouTube.
Do you get like, do you guys even post to a—
we post to Spotify, Apple, we do all that, and that's where we need more numbers to come up there, because as you guys know, that's where the ad revenue is. Right. So the more ad revenue you can get, it's based off that thing. Let me see if I can do something here.
I mean, you guys, I don't know exactly how it would work, but you could still add it. You could still get a lot of that ad revenue and sell sponsors to your YouTube show too.
Well, so we actually had a sports betting company that wanted to like throw like a 20 grand sponsor at us. But with me being in my profession that I'm in, probably not the best thing to do.
Throw them our way. We're looking for a sponsor.
All right. They were like, yeah, you can promote sports betting. I was like, in my NFL agent regulations, if I get caught sports betting, some bad things could happen. Right. So, but you know,
I think that's bullshit. You should be able to throw so much money down on your guys. Where did Searles just go?
You know what we always could do though, boys.
Oh, we got some.
You know what we always we could always look at some Iowa film.
Oh,
I mean, we could always pull some Iowa film up. This is how I have to watch film with my clients now. Right. Oh. You just talk through, you just get a separate camera. You know, we want to watch.
Hey, now
watch some of the boys here.
Where did we acquire this from?
Yeah, you film it yourself.
I have. So just a quick sneak peek for you boys here. I have a wonderful, wonderful thing here where I have access to every single—
Doesn't that look familiar, Kev?
You should know what this is.
No, that looks exactly the way it looks.
I mean, like, do we want to watch some UC Davis film?
So you have access to
the big playoff game coming up for UC Davis.
Little Nebraska film.
Do you have access to everything that's on Nebraska servers you have access to?
It's not through Nebraska, actually.
Really?
It's not. No, it's through a guy, a friend of a friend type of thing that I pay a ridiculous amount of money for.
Is this for your agency?
It's for the agency.
I see. So, like, you can scout guys.
So all we have to do, Kev, is become an NFL agent, and we can get college film. Seems worth it.
You could.
You just got to pass a test, right? You don't have to actually sign any clients.
You have to assign a client to a 90-man roster once every 3 years. You'll get your agent regulations revoked.
So you have to have, we can do that.
You got 3 years. You got 3 years.
We can figure that out, Kevin.
I mean, it just a 90-man, right? It doesn't have to be the active roster. I think it should be active roster, personally. Right?
Ooh, it would cut some people.
It would limit the bullshit that I have to deal with on a daily basis. But you know, yeah, only every 3 years, get an undrafted free agent on a 90-man roster, reset the clock.
Meanwhile, we're just making videos of Iowa film, and that's why we're doing it. No, that was it's been a long time since I've looked at a film like that.
Dude, it's addicting. It's addicting to get back, and like immediately you're like, man, I need to put a dip in, I gotta put some music in. Right? Like you just get back into the meeting room ground, like who's got the seeds? Right. I'm trying to find like one of the clickers. Like I want to find one of the old cowboy remotes. Awesome. Oh yeah. And just put it like cast it to the TV and just sit there like, Emma, you may never see me again.
There's nothing better.
It's insane the amount of time you can spend on one play.
Your wife would really hate you then. Hunting.
Oh. Well, I mean, the O-line, when we do at the O-line committee, we pick like four plays and we spend 20 minutes on it.
Yeah.
Right. There's so much to talk about. And you look at it and people love it. They've never played football before or like never have understood why you watch an all 22. And you start explaining like, no, I'm watching the safety topped over number two because I know that means the D lineman is going to slant this way and that linebacker is going to push. And they're just like, oh, I thought you just big dumb football player. Right. Like all that stuff is so.
I thought they were just like the plays on Madden where the guy couldn't leave his zone. He was stuck there.
Like we explained to someone the other day, like what the check with me system is, like how there's three different, like, because they were like, why do quarterbacks come up to the line and say like, hey, can, or alert, alert, or Zorro, Zorro, or whatever it is. It's like, because there's three different plays that are called, right? There's the first play with an alert to it to go to the three technique or whatever. And then if you get single high or two high, there's a kill that goes to a completely different play that might have a check to it. And it's just so much fun. The chess match that is football is so much fun to get into on a play in and play out basis.
It's funny you mentioned the seeds or the dip can. Early in our career, our new facility was built during Kevin and I's time. Mm-hmm. And so there was still an older building in use when we came in 13 in the first half of 14. And the specialists didn't have a meeting room in the old building. So what they would do is they would go into the special teams coach's office, who also at that time did not have special teams as his only gig. He was the running backs coach and then did special teams. So what we would do is we would steal the chairs. Everybody else was in meetings, in the actual meeting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We'd steal the chairs from every coach's office. You know, we'd linebackers coach, offensive line, everybody go get a chair. You wheel them to the running backs room. You cram your asses in there. One guy is back behind the computer. These offices were not as big as they were in the new complex eventually. And you just run through everybody. It was a shit show. But I specifically remember our kicker at the time, Mike Meyer, Casey Kreider, who's still in the league. They, you know, you'd get the dip can would come out or the sunflower seeds would come out and you'd be like, all right, boys, settle in.
Here you go.
There's nothing more natural, man.
Maybe you can answer this. What the fuck's going on with the kickers in the NFL this year? Why are they such fragile human beings? Why are the kickers the most fragile human beings on the team?
Well, I mean, I think that's a pretty easy
answer. That's a bold statement, I know. But at the same time, like, don't miss a kick, dude. You're in the NFL. Like, especially like the Washington Commanders game. How are you going to go down there, let Terry McLaurin score, and they drop 10, and then botch the extra point?
I've seen a lot of long snapping that's been suspect. I've seen a lot of holding that's been suspect. People really don't know. People watch NFL games, not even you, Searles, but the common man will watch an NFL game and just be like, they don't even think about the operation on a PAT or a field goal. They just assume that it's good, right? Mm. And I've seen some stuff, and this has been since we came out, and I never got a look. And in the beginning, it was just spite.
Pure bitterness.
Like, yeah, it was like, I'm better than this guy. I'm better than this guy. But now it's just like pure objective fact. I just watch things and I'm like, that's not good. Like to be, you're supposed to be one of the 32 best in the world at this. And you just rolled it back there. What is going on? Like, then the kicker thing is I can't speak directly to it. There has been some wild missed kicks this year. The only thing I can say is you're usually going to find some of the most heady, overthinking, nerdy guys at the special teams position. It is so much a mental position.
Mm.
Every guy in the NFL has the physical capability to do whatever, you know, kick a field goal 60 yards and in, snap a football the way he needs to. After that, it's just how do you mentally lock in and make this as consistent as you can possibly be? And like, I don't, for lack of a better way to describe it, like,
you got golfers playing football is what you're saying.
Exactly. And guys are just, they just fucking suck. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
It's brutal, dude. I can't handle it. I mean, I love kickers. I also can't stand them. Like, nothing was worse than you go on like an 18 play, 90 yard grind fest, right? And you get down there and you score the touchdown. And you're like, oh God, yes. Then you line up for the extra point and he pushes it wide left or something. And you look
back. Were you still playing when they moved the extra point back? How long ago was that?
Yeah, I was. That was 2015. 16, really 2015, 2016.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you stand up and the kicker hits you with one of these, like, oh, my bad.
My bad. Yeah, we know.
Fucking excuse you. Like, just grinded my balls off for 18 plays and you come in here and it's your bad. Like, I'll stab you, little man. You look like you should be delivering food.
And I will say, in the specialist defense, like, it is hard. Like, what they do is hard. People think kick.
No, it's not easy. Trust me. But if you're paid $1 million to make a kick, make the kick.
You got to make them at some sort of frequency. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any better answer for you.
I do. Are you a fan of the Pat McAfee segment on college?
I think it's fantastic.
It's awesome.
Dude, that one guy that like tore his ACL warming up.
Oh,
hysterical.
Oh, so funny. That video was brutal.
He's back there just doing some warm up kicks and just absolutely just rips his ACL.
I just love how he's always like, have you ever bad-mouthed a kicker? And he's like, oh, yeah. I talk shit about him all the 100%. Time.
I just love the guy misses one. Pat offers double the money. So he's like this kid who's like probably not got like $80 in his bank account for
that he's going to spend on beer that night.
Exactly, right? And Pat's offering the opportunity to kick for $200,000. Kid shanks it and Pat's immediately in his face. Like, this kid is devastated. But
you are terrible.
Like, no good.
Yeah, my best is like, this guy sucks. Like, he'll just walk away.
Yeah.
McAfee, in my opinion, has saved game day. Like, I think before McAfee came on, people were migrating more over to the big noon kickoff. Like, and I feel like he has kind of revamped and brought a new audience and like kind of revitalized. You know, I think that he brings such a fun energy to game day now compared to just what you got used to with Reese.
Yeah.
And I mean, Desmond Howard can go. I'm done with him.
I'm also done with Desmond.
I'm He's done worthless. With him. He's not good. He doesn't bring value. Saban's been great.
Saban's been awesome. Great. Reese, Saban, Herb Street, and Pat are, and it's sort of weird because obviously Corso is, they're just hanging on.
Oh. Dude, he needs to get the Biden treatment soon. Like, just put him out.
I mean, they only bring him out for like every other week, and it's like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I know. And he's
gonna, Kirk like taps his hand every now and then, too. Like, hey, we're still here with you.
He's gonna phase out eventually, but I would agree. You know, you look at some of the commentary online, and there's always going to be the I hate McAfee. I just can't deal with him. But then I think the bigger contingent is kind of where you are and where I am. And that is, he brings an energy that's hard to match, and it makes it fun. And sometimes it's cheesy. It's sticky, you know? But
dude, when he sang the entire Georgia song last year at the SEC championship and then hit him with a Roll Tide.
And then he goes, give me Bama.
Unbelievable.
The best setup of all time. He really has I think he's good on there. Yeah, he's elite. That's a special teamer's dream right there. He's top of the mountain.
Well, he's made like what, 50 times more money post NFL than he did in the NFL.
He's also like
probably more than 50.
He's kind of like the version of Joe Rogan of our generation, right? The Renaissance man. Right. He's doing everything right. Joe is on Fear Factor and then he's the podcast and then he's UFC. Like, Pat's everywhere. Right. Yeah. It's wrestling. It's game day. It's podcasting. It's a little bit of everything.
He's just 11 o'clock ESPN every day now.
Every day. Yeah. It's wild. And I love how he just brought his college friends with him. Like just jump on the coattails, boys. We're going.
It's the dream. Yeah.
This year we got one of our shirts on the Pat McAfee show.
I saw that. I did see that. That was awesome.
Shout out the boy.
The Iowa guy, I sent him a DM after we dropped our Kirk's Dogs t-shirts. And I was like, hey, we got a shirt coming out. It's a collab with Kittle. And he's a big Kittle guy, obviously. And we're like, We'd love for you to have one. Didn't ask him to wear it on the show or anything. And then a couple weeks later, they were in West Virginia, you know, previewing that first game against Penn State or whatever. And he's like, hey, shirt's going on the show tomorrow. And I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Just went from 6 to midnight.
Yeah. Helped us sell a couple. Welcome to the show, Kev. We're glad to have you here.
Good to be here. Sorry about that, boys.
No, you're okay. Replacing your own ankle or hip or something, I'm sure.
If I could, I would.
Make a lot of money on that. Nebraska.
Let's do it.
We talked earlier this year. We had you on as a little Big Ten preview. We went through some schedules, mostly the Iowa and the Huskers schedule. We pontificated, tried to play out those schedules in our head. Hey, worst case scenario, best case scenario. I think we landed somewhere.
I'm still on track with the 7 wins.
Yeah, and Searles, and I should have pulled the clips, if I was a better podcaster, this would sound and look like. But you were somewhere around a little bit more of a down-to-earth Husker fan or a realist. Some of these people out there had you guys. I think we can undefeated. It's possible here.
Yeah, it's right there. Run the table.
If Rayola is good enough, I think we can go 12-0. 11-1, easy. 10 win floor.
I mean, we went through with you guys, and we were staring at 10 wins, right? 10 wins in the face was what I believe we finished with you guys.
Yeah, that was the most likely scenario in our heads, yeah.
That was.
Yeah. And to be honest, you know, if Friday goes our way, 8 is it's just two games, right? But it's two games, and those two games for us were two bad games, Michigan State and UCLA.
It's the conference record that's alarming for you guys.
Yeah.
Right. 5 and if you go the other way, if it goes my way on Friday and you guys end conference 5-4, that's not a good year for you.
It's bad.
That's a bad year for you guys. Right. We finished on Saturday and it flips our way and we end up going in the conference 4-5. That's a win for us compared to what it's been in the last few years.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I said when we had that conversation back in August. I thought that, hey, you know, year one, you won a couple more games than, what'd you win, 5?
5.
Year two, let's just get to that next step. Go to a bowl game.
Go bowling.
Right? And then for a while there, y'all were like, oh, 6 is not enough. You know? And now here we are.
I mean, it's just hard when you start 5-1.
Yeah.
And then you're having the conversation towards the end of November of maybe we aren't going to a bowl game. Right. That's just a tough place to be as a fan base when you're starving for one. And as much as people and you guys know, as players, people like, oh, we don't think of it as getting bowl eligible. It's just go 1-0 this week. Like, dude, that's a monkey on a back.
Yeah.
Right. Ain't been to a bowl game in 8 years. Like Matt Rule's job is to get us to a bowl game. All these seniors came back because we wanted to go to a bowl game and just have that sitting there. Like I thoroughly expect the Huskers to come out and play more free against you guys than they have in the last month. Right. Cause they've got that monkey off their back of, hey, I don't care if it's the Idaho Potato Bowl. I don't care if it's the whatever, we're going bowling for the first time and ever. Like that's no longer in the conversation. I'm excited to see it.
You think advantage Huskers because they have the monkey off the back? Because I thought potentially you don't want as the Hawks to go into that game knowing the Huskers are they've got this op, you know, say they lose last week, they're 5-6, and now their last game of the year in Iowa City is to make the bowl game.
See, I think it's the other way around.
Okay.
Right. Because I felt like for the last month, right, since we've been 5-1, we've played really tight. Right, really tight, and you get to those end of the game moments that we've had, and things start to get high pressure situation, and even just a little bit more of a pressure of like, oh, let's just win this and go to a bowl game, right? Let's just win it and get to a bowl game. Like things get tight, things get sticky, and we kind of fall. Versus now, it's like, boys, we got the bowl game, right? Let's just go beat Iowa.
Nothing to lose
here. Like they're not having the greatest year. Let's get to 7 wins for the first time since 2015. Like we have a lot to play for, and I love our new offensive coordinator. And it makes me wonder, hey, if we didn't have Satterfield for an entire year, what could we have been? Because our offense was a abysmal, dude, from the word go. I've never loved our offense this year. And Daniel Holgorsen comes in and doesn't even know players' names. He's just calling them by numbers. Like, it's incredible. I love it. I love it so much.
One of the more interesting moves in all of college football probably is you're over halfway through the season and Rule just says, we gotta do something here.
Yeah.
Which
guy was available.
Credit to him, right?
I've never in all my years of watching football, being involved, covering it, have heard of you grab a guy from the street, bring him in as an analyst on your bye week, and by the next week you've named him offensive coordinator. Like, this dude hasn't been there at all, knows no one, knows no terminology, doesn't even know where to park. And then you've got him calling plays. Like, unbelievable.
Has to Google his way to the facility.
His first press conference, he was like, yeah, we really like that receiver number 4, number 18. Like, we'd need a little bit more out of 13. Like, he didn't even know their names, dude. Like, it's incredible.
Probably still doesn't.
He just watches the tape. He knows who can play and who can't, yeah, which, and, you know,
and even then he was like, yeah, I think some coaches, he's like, he came in and just started taking the scythe down the hallway. He was like, oh, passing game coordinator, gone. Running game coordinator, gone. I was like, oh my God, this dude's in here just popping heads.
Nothing to lose for him.
No. I mean, he literally walked in there. You guys were Entourage people. Any of you guys watched Entourage? I've
seen a little
bit. Love Entourage. Fit.
Dude,
the Ari? All I can
picture is the Ari scene where he came with a paintball gun. Like, tell me what you do here. Oh, okay, you're fired.
Fired.
Like, that's exactly what Dana Holgorsen came in and did. And he put new life because you can't just assume, like, oh, this team was bad when they went and put 40 points up on Wisconsin, who they almost took down the number one team in the country the week before. Yeah. Like, it's the same players. It's the same guys. It really is incredible. Sometimes you just change a coach, it can reinvigorate an entire team. Look at the Browns. Look at the Saints. Like, sometimes it is just getting one guy out of the way.
Now, is he calling, like, did they install a new offense or like what? Like,
so the word I keep hearing is simplified, right? They simplified. And that's an interesting word when you say football, because you can't just simplify an entire playbook. But what I think they did is they just cut down and just went back to like, hey, we're only gonna practice 25 plays.
20 best plays.
Right? These are our 25 best plays. We're not gonna go into the game plan with a giant card sheet and hey, we have 12 third and fives, 12 third and seven pluses, and like, hey, here's what we're gonna do. And that's what I saw against Wisconsin was just it was just simple. It was a lot of the same concepts, but just different window dressing. Right. Hey, we're running inside zone, but this time we're going to run it out of a 2x2 set and we're going to motion a guy across. But it's the same concept as we line up in 3x1.
Right. Plays are expensive, formations are cheap.
Exactly. Right. And I think we saw a little bit more of that, which allows some of our younger guys and allows our freshman quarterback to not have to do so much, put so much on their shoulders. And then we got some run game going, which we haven't had all freaking year.
I saw Kurt Warner posted a tweet this past weekend. It was just like, I think it was actually handwritten out. Like eight square of eight different plays. And he was like, if I was going to start a team right now on offense, I would install these eight plays and get really good at them. And I just thought like, man, I love the concept of just do a couple things really, really well.
I mean, it's how Wisconsin won all their Big Ten championships.
Yeah.
Right. When I was in school, when you guys were in school, what they do? Oh, they're just going to line up and run power a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just going to line up this way, shift a guy, motion back, and then it's power.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, just a bunch of window dressings to confuse you about where they're running the power.
And all it takes is one linebacker to get out of his gap, and there goes Monty Ball. There goes Melvin Gordon. Like,
didn't hurt that they had all American backs.
100%. I mean, but it also like every offensive lineman was from like a 400-mile radius, and they were all 6'7", 330 pounds.
They had
like,
literal beef cattle.
Just monsters.
As their O-line.
It was unbelievable.
So talk to me about Raiola.
Yeah.
Because you came on the show, and out of your mouth was, I haven't seen a young kid spin it like this. And that's, I would say for the most part, like in a vacuum, He's proven that he's talented. Kid can throw it. He's built already to play at this level. He's taken some hits that I would say are ill-advised, but
yeah.
He's for the most part passed the test as a freshman. I think Kirk Ferentz today in his press conference, who is just king of just slurping the other team.
Oh yeah, no bulletin board material coming out of Iowa City.
I think word for word was like, I can't imagine there's a better freshman quarterback in the country than Dylan Raiola, right? But to some extent, like, yeah. probably. So yeah. Tell me, what do you guys think?
Yeah, you know, the more I've watched him, the more I've really come to respect what he's done, because most freshman quarterbacks that play early are athletes.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you look at the guys that come in and play early, they're crazy. Like the kid down at Florida, I can't think of his name right now.
DJ right? Lagway?
Lagway.
Yeah, like crazy athlete, right? Can run and spread the field and create with his legs and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Dylan is a true quarterback freshman passer.
Yeah.
Right. Like he can't really run. Like he can scramble and fall down for 5, 10, 15 if he has to, but he is in no way, shape, or form a threat to, if you're running man coverage, he's going to take it 50 yards and score.
Right.
And so the way that I've got to watch him develop as a passer this year has been really fun to watch, because he has the touch passes that very few quarterbacks in all of college football have, right? He had a play against CU early in the year where it looked like a very casual throw. Like he caught it, he goes, but it was one of those where it was from the far hash to the other side of the field, up and over the linebackers, but actually got the ball down before it reached the cover two safety. And I looked at people, I was like, I don't think you understand how hard of a pass that actually really is. Like, it was only like a 17-yard like out route. But
he threw the ball like 50 something.
But he threw the ball 50 yards, threw the ball before the guy was out of his break, and it was up and over and dropped in. And so those are the kind of plays where you watch and go, okay, we've got something here, right? But I do think he still hasn't quite got out of the, hey, I got to get this ball out of my hand, right? Like, because those are the hits you're starting to take. And that comes with being a young QB of, you're used to high school of like, I can just run away from this 16-year-old. Like, no, that dude's a 22-year-old kid from Ohio State that's going to get drafted on a Thursday night next year. You better throw the football before he gets home.
He's right? going to kill you.
He wants to hurt you, like physically hurt you. And so he's got to get some more of that stuff going. But I mean, he's as advertised. I think he has a chance to be as good of a quarterback that's ever been through Nebraska.
Big statement there.
Is Searle's going to
true quarterback? True quarterback. Okay, I'm not saying best athlete like Eric Crouch and Taylor Martinez and Adrian Martinez. All these like dual threat guys are great, but you're talking about true quarterback play. He has the chance to be the best to come through Nebraska.
It's cool.
Are you going to break your lineman mold?
He already has an agent, dude. You kidding me? That dude's already got an agent locked, sealed, delivered. Right. So those big time recruit guys have agents in 16-year-olds now.
God,
that's so wild.
How do you think that guy from Michigan that just signed for $10.5 million doesn't have an agent helping negotiate those deals?
Wild. I just saw the clip of Dave talking about
how it happened.
Larry freaking Ellison. Dude,
right?
What does he do, by the way?
He's Oracle. He's a CEO of Oracle.
Yeah, massive tech company.
I mean, that's
200 billion.
That's
and
how
his wife and Dave just decided we're getting the best goddamn quarterback we can.
I mean, he's not even a Michigan guy, right? That's happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, it's just like, is this going to make you happy and like not miserable on Saturdays?
Yeah, is this going to make my life easier so I don't have to hear you whine about Michigan losing? Here's $10.5 million. I don't care. Figure out what you want to do.
I think it's his third marriage. He's pretty determined to make this one work.
How insane is it that $10 million is just throwaway money to
it matters not to him.
Unbelievable.
But that's the same thing with like Texas A&M, like those dudes. Now, you don't think Matthew McConaughey is slipping money to Texas?
Of course he is.
It's the oil money down there.
Is all nuts. Right. All right. The all oil right.
money at the A&M cult you got to worry about. Yeah. It's not McConaughey.
It's wild, dude. College football's heading for a crazy spot.
Well, it's all going to change next year now.
Well, the rev share model. Yeah, the rev share model is going to start August 2025.
What's crazy to me is I just saw. And Kev, this is going to be a big off-season podcast, maybe multiple ones. This whole like team's got to cut, guys.
Yep.
Nebraska said
we have 150 guys on roster right now.
You guys have one of the bigger rosters in all of college.
We always have. Like the walk-on tradition here has been.
They'll
like,
let anybody walk through the door over there.
Like we kind of started the walk-on movement. Like that was kind of Nebraska's thing.
Yeah. Big for Iowa too, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But roster size huge at Nebraska, and nobody's gonna have to cut this many. But they said they're gonna have to cut between 40 and 50 guys.
Yeah, because it's got to get to 105.
And most teams, I think, Kev, what do we roll around with? 120?
Usually around 120, maybe 125.
So, I mean, that's 20 guys that are getting axed. And Kev, if it's 2013 or 2014.
Wouldn't have been very comfortable.
Kev, see you, bud.
Well, I mean,
No. I was part of the 105s.
I was going to say, you really.
Drake would not have been on this podcast.
Drake wouldn't have been.
Who made it to camp, right? That's the way you have to look at it.
That's like, true. Yeah.
Who made it to camp? Who didn't?
Yeah. Right?
Those who weren't at camp probably aren't on the team.
It's crazy.
It's a crazy thing to think about.
I would not have been here.
You know why they're doing it, right? Have I explained to you why they're making the why they?
Yeah, because it's just so that they can't have endless amount of guys on scholarship that they like just fry with NIL.
Yeah, I tried to explain it to my wife like this: like right now, if you have 130 guys, Oregon with Phil Knight can just say, "Okay, 130 full scholarship. Where that's we'll fund that." And so now you cut it to 105 and you add the rev share model in, and now you kind of level the playing field. But like in a way, you also aren't ever going to be able to level it because the collectives are still a thing. And so now Oregon can just pay their 105, whoever they want those 105 to be, they're all going to get 5-10x what they'll get at another school still. So
I've heard rumors that they're going to try to set up some sort of NIL clearinghouse that like, they're going to try to eliminate the pay for plays. Like you can do ads, you can do NIL agreements, but it has to be like, if you're doing a ad for a local car dealership, it's not going to be $1 million deal. Right. You know,
but that usually pays like 50. How
I have no idea how. I just know I've heard,
because the problem is you start trying to take rights back, you're going to get sued. Yeah. Like it's going to be litigation out the ass, right? Like you can't, as my business partner, right. He's been an agent for 27 years. He started a law firm. He's like, dude, the NCAA is toast. Like you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? You let this monster out, you let it go, you're not going to be able to start stripping rights back off of the case. They want to go make money. It is their name, image, likeness. How they make it is not your problem. You don't have a say in this anymore.
So then, and I don't want to make it this podcast because I think, again, like we had you on last offseason.
We got lots to go there.
We'll have plenty to talk about it. Plus draft, like all of your NFL stuff.
Love it.
By the way, good year for you. I got some prospects.
Yeah. So I got a top 100 kid out of Kansas, an O lineman there, working on another one out of North Dakota State. And then I got a kid from Michigan, kid from Minnesota, kid from Iowa State, and a kid from Vanderbilt that all have potentials to be drafted. So that's good. And then working on a kid, a running back out of Cincy. So working there. I was talking to your boy Logan Jones there for a while, the center, but I think he went a different direction. So that's all right. Things happen.
He seems like a good kid.
He's having a great year. Yeah, he's having a really good year.
There's a lot going on. How, in short, in your mind, Searles, how do you fix it? Like they have to just become employees.
You can't become employees, right? Because if you become employees, you're now talking about employee-employer relationship, right? Now you're talking about benefits. You're talking about workers' comp, right? Like think about workers' comp. Every single one of us, maybe not my small friend here, but like the rest of us all got hurt while playing at Iowa at one point in time. Something, right? Something got hurt, right? Whether it's a finger or a hamstring, a back, a neck, whatever it might be. If you're an employee-employer relationship, I can now come after you for workers' compensation because I was hurt on the job.
So
I don't think that'll ever happen. I think the rev share model is going to fix some of this, but I really don't think until you separate yourself fully from the NCAA and you set up your own type of collective bargaining agreement between players and the whole bit, there's really no fixing it, in my opinion. Man. It's just adapt, and the good teams will adapt and take advantage and win, and the Clemsons will not.
Unreal. Dabo refuses to.
It's going to cost him his job.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah, I don't think he does either. I mean, he's made enough money to do whatever he wants, but it's the reason Saban got out. It's the reason college coaches are going to the NFL faster than ever before. It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah,
it's got to be a headache.
I mean, you're recruiting your own guys after they're already there.
Tough. It's not good. At least at 105, you'll have to recruit 20 less guys.
Yeah, you know? There you go. It's all counts.
Y'all go 5-1. You're feeling good. Where did the issues start to come up? What happened?
Yeah, the biggest issue was people figured us out on offense, our tendencies, right? We were very simple, in my opinion, under Satterfield with our offense, as far as people couldn't believe that I would watch the game with like friends and stuff at home, and I would call out what play we were running before we'd snap it. I'm like, we're so tendency driven. It's insane. Like,
you became Iowa.
Yeah, you have, but we didn't have the personnel that it didn't matter, right? We weren't Wisconsin, where it's just like, you know, we're running power. We have the personnel to do it. You ain't going to stop it, right? We didn't have that. We don't have that offensive line. We don't have those type of skill players where we're just going to be able to line up and run. So we became very tendency, and defenses figured it out, started playing to our tendencies, and we couldn't come over the hump. And the biggest thing that happened was there was our, at one point when we were 5-1, I believe we were like +9 in the turnover differential. Mm. When we lost to UCLA, we were back to 0 on the turnover differential, right? So you start talking about you're in -9 turnover differential through 5 games. It's not surprised why you lost so many games, right? So that was a big reason we started fumbling, turn the ball over, not taking the ball away on defense. And then input Dana Holgorsen, even against USC, we started to find some more life, started to find some more rhythm, starting to find ways to get the ball out of our hands, running football again, which then inspired our defense again, right? Because I don't know if you guys have ever been a part of a team, but I've been part of a team where like the defense, and when I was on the Vikings in 2015 or 2016, our defense was lights out, right? Like number one scoring defense, number one in sacks, like the whole bit, but our offense couldn't piss a drop, right? We were winning games like 17-10.
You're talking to...
Well, it wasn't nearly as dramatic for us during our tenure as it was for the Iowa guys like the last 2 years.
Correct. Yeah. And eventually it wears the defense out.
For sure.
But eventually they're just like, oh my gosh, dude, we let up 14 points and we lost. Right? Like, it just wears those guys out. And so I think we got a little bit of that defensive fatigue going on where guys were like, we let up 17 points. Like, we should win a game.
Demoralizing. For like, sure.
We should, yeah. If you hold a team in college football, today's era college football, under 3 touchdowns, you should win.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think we lost a little bit of juju going there, and then get a little bit of life against USC. We lose it at the end, come back and whack Wisconsin. I mean, there's a lot of confidence in that building in Lincoln right now for the first time in a couple of years. I mean, to be honest, maybe the most confidence under Matt Rhule ever.
Do you think, you know, obviously they're going to a bowl game. Do you think, given that big time program hasn't been to a bowl in 8 years, you think you'll see any opt outs whatsoever from this Nebraska team? Or
I don't think so.
Everyone's playing?
I think everyone's playing. I mean, the only guy, in my opinion, that would maybe opt out is Ty Robinson, right? The D lineman, but he came.
He's good.
He's a top 150 player. He came back to go to a bowl game. Right. Like, that was his goal. Like, and so for him to sit out would make no sense to me whatsoever. I bet you Tommy Hill probably sits out because he's hurt. Right. But that's a little bit of a different, like, hey, you're dinged, you're getting ready to go into the NFL.
We have one of those too. Yeah.
Right. It's like, if you were fully healthy, would you play? Probably. But when you already have a risk of injury, you don't want to re-injure yourself late in December because you can put yourself back. So I think those would be the only two guys that I think would be considered draftable. You know, but I still think that unless you're a lock for a top 3 rounds, you should always play in your bowl game. Yeah.
The bowl games are just, it's tough.
But the other thing, from a program builder too, is those practices are so important.
They stack up over a course of 5 years. Big time.
I mean, when you're talking about young guys getting development and that piece to it, and I mean, it's a huge thing. And we were talking about with Dana Holgorsen being the OC for Nebraska now, like those 3-4 weeks of practice are going to be able to springboard us into spring ball so much more from an offensive side than if we just cut it after Thanksgiving. You don't put the pads back on until late March.
Big time.
It's huge. Young guys just come along so much faster.
Yeah. I mean, in bowl practices for an older guy is pretty much nothing, right? You kind of just keep everything going again, and then you really ramp up again like 10 days before the game.
The seniors are on like, there's like
partial retirement.
I got
put out to pasture my senior year.
Drake,
take one rep of 9-on-7s. All right, you're done.
Drake, our senior year, was like, he was 1 year out of the injury playing Nebraska the previous year, and they're like, hey, buddy, you got 4 good reps in you. Let's just.
We're going to put you out to pasture.
Enjoy your time.
Yes. You do stretch and punt period, and hey, you stand over here.
Put that beanie on for scout team. was bowl games for you guys as you got older? You guys get to go out, party, do all the fun things, or did Kirk have you guys on lockdown?
So we usually got down there pretty early, and they gave us like the first 2 nights to kind of go run out, get it out of our system. And then it was game week mode after that. Mm-hmm. And then obviously there's literally no rules after the game. Like,
oh yeah, good luck. Like,
curfews out the door. Like, there's good. No rules whatsoever.
Yeah, she was my girlfriend at the time, my senior year. I was like, hey, she's getting on the bus with us to go to the airport because we're going to fly. They're like, you're a senior, dude. You're done. I'm like, yep, sounds great. Come on. As we're like puking in the back because we're all still drunk from the night before.
Oh, I think the bowl trips, you know, obviously, like, you got any group of college guys is going to have their fair share of like college stories, right? That they take with them. The bowl trips produce some of the most absurd, legendary. Just debauchery.
And that's part of what I'm so happy for these, like, this senior class in Nebraska, like, strip the football side away from it. Like, that shit is the stuff you carry with the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Right. And that stuff these guys have never had. Like, I think about like Ty Robinson, Nash Hutmaker, guys that have been here with Scott and through it and Rule and the whole bit. And to have them be able to go to these bowl trips and have that, I mean, that just makes me really happy for them as college players and guys that are maybe never even going to sniff the NFL, but they're going to get to go have a week long, hopefully in somewhere that's not terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
how does the fan base as a whole feel about the season? Like, are they generally like, yay, we made it the next step, we went to a bowl game, or are they disappointed they wanted more? Is it going to hinge a lot on what happens on Friday?
You know, if you asked me that a week ago before the Wisconsin game, I'd say people are upset. Like, really, like, they're just really upset because the delusion that we were going to be a 9-10 win season this year was very high, right? You go knock off CU week two, right? You build, you go.
Good win, by the way.
A big win for us, right? And that was kind of a like, holy shit, we've turned a corner.
But
like,
I mean, you look.
I didn't think CU was going to be good, though. Like, when I watched CU play, I was like, I don't think this is a very good football team. And they've made a great, but like, as you progressed and as we got into conference play, and then when you get just dog walked by Indiana, the question marks start to really come up. Like, how close actually are we to
turning a point?
Right. And then you go battle Ohio State right to the end. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, right. It was kind of that feeling of like, what are we? Are we good? Are we bad? Are we somewhere in between? There was just a lot of unease as a fan base because we were so close to turning a corner to be really good. And we were so close to, oh my God, we're 5-1. We're not going to a bowl game again.
Yeah. Very confusing year, actually, for both teams.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, similar, blow out Wisconsin and then just drop an egg versus UCLA. Just like, we don't know what to make of this year on our side of the border.
You guys dropped the one up in East Lansing.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, that one was surprising.
And that game was a lot further apart than it looks on paper.
100%. I watched it was a Friday night game, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
Saturday night. Yeah, it was under the lights of East Lansing. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's if there's any consistency or something to pull from it, it was that we were better at home than on the road. But like, I don't really think that tells the tale of why we lost to Michigan State or why. Like, there's no reason you just tackle worse on the road. Like, I don't know. But yeah, definitely, I would say a disappointing year for a lot of Iowa fans. If Nebraska pulls this off in Kinnick on Friday, it will be a failure of a season for sure in the majority of Iowa fans' eyes. And I can't even really – I don't know if I really have an argument against that. 7-5, you'd be 2 out of 4 on the trophy games. And depending on
two of your bigger rivals, you know, and just the expectations coming into the year with the schedule that we had, it was like we were really expecting to be like a fringe playoff team, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Could we make it in?
So
quarterback plays have been the problem.
Well, and it didn't hurt that we're down to it.
You're down to, I mean, if you guys didn't have the walk-on program, you don't have a quarterback right now.
I don't know what we'd be doing. I really don't. And it's not to say that, like, if we had, I think the best version of us potentially this year would have been if we somehow started Sullivan from the beginning and we had him consistently and he wasn't injured for all 12 games. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably our best option.
Yeah. I'd agree.
Now, is that a, that's sort of a fairy tale with the way that he sort of played when he got in, because he was like, I'm running this thing, I'm gonna take shots, and like, was the injury, like he was probably gonna get banged up, especially over the course of 12 games. Kid only started three games, so who knows. Now we have literally Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Shaggy is his nickname, and he's our quarterback, and we're kind of at this point, literally, Searles, this is where our fan base is at. We're like, fuck it, baby. He's our QB. Let's go.
Rally the troops.
We love it.
Okay, gun to your head. Him or Deacon from last year?
Oh, him. Him by a mile. No,
long shot.
The crazy thing is that this guy is our fifth string this year. That our second string last year was that freaking bad.
Right.
And we had apparently no one behind him that was better.
No.
So
The story with this kid.
Yeah, our QB play hasn't been great this year, but we added some significant depth over last year.
The story with this kid, from what I've heard, a couple comments from around, is that this kid had like a scholarship opportunity to Washington. Mm. And then the coaching change happened and all of that turnover went around and his scholarship was not upheld. And so he ended up going to or maybe it was the year before that. And for some reason, something didn't work out. He ended up going to Colorado State. He just didn't have a landing spot, really. Hmm. And spent a year there. And our new guy, Lester, found him. And the way Lester's talked about him is like, yeah, I didn't recruit this guy out of high school, but I looked at him in the transfer portal from Colorado State like a guy who I would have recruited based on what I've seen. And he's come in and he can sling that thing. And he's pretty damn accurate. I don't know what he can do with his feet. It's hard to really assess him at all with 2 or 3 weeks of like, hey, this is the Iowa playbook. And it's late in the season. You're trying to just, I think he even had a quote in the media that said he's felt like he's been drinking through a fire hose.
For sure.
So that's impossible, right? And he's still decently young. Who knows? I think we'll go to the portal. That's another topic for the podcast this offseason. But I think him and Sullivan, along with whoever they can find in the portal, will all have like a decently even opportunity to compete for the starting gig, which is crazy to say about somebody who's like a fourth or a fifth string quarterback, but it's a little bit of an odd situation. How do you,
The saving grace for our team this year is that we haven't asked our quarterbacks to do a whole lot just because our run game has been,
I mean, you never do
a blessing to have this year.
I mean, it's why guys like Stanley get drafted in the seventh round and don't do anything in the NFL, because it's like, no, we actually ask you to do things here as a quarterback. Like,
yeah, Stanley caught a lot of hate during his day, but he
played within the system.
He played within the system, but every now and then, like, we ask him to throw the ball 40 times a game.
Yeah.
Like, he more so than any other quarterback that we had, even Bether, like, we probably asked the most out of him.
Stanley's currently the most retroactively respected quarterback in Iowa history, probably. Like, so many people this year have been like, Nate, I've seen so many tweets like, Nate Stanley, I'm so sorry. I apologize for everything I said about you. It turns out you were actually a pretty damn good quarterback.
he's the guy that NIL was created for.
Not
gonna go make it in the NFL, not gonna go make millions, like, but you're a damn good college quarterback. Make a couple million while you're in school.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How does Friday turn out? What's it going to look like? It's going to be cold, Jack.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be a cold game, man. I mean, I think it's going to be. I can't give it to Iowa.
Just the cold weather. Does that give that Iowa the advantage? Oh, we can't throw the ball for shit, man.
No, I mean, I think it gives you guys the advantage of just being at home, being in Kinnick.
No,
naturally. Right? I mean, naturally, you talk about Memorial Stadium versus Kinnick, like, you know, the fan bases are going for it. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. Like, it's hard to play in Kinnick. I played there twice. It's a tough place to play, just as it's hard to play in Memorial when that place is rocking and rolling. So you got to go there. But I think our defense matches up really well against your guys' offense, right? Ty Robinson, Nash Hutmaker, John Bullock, right? Those type of players. And we can throw some of our younger guys in there now with the redshirt rule, right? Some of our bigger guys that we've put in the last couple of weeks, which has been part of the reason we've had some more success on defense, in my opinion, is guys like Riley Van Poppel, who we played him last year, redshirted him this year. So we've been using him the last four games. Like, that's a guy that you're gonna be able to put in there now and get 30 snaps out of, and he's fresh.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And so we have some of those young guys that are bigger guys on the front end of our defense. I think we match up well against your guys' style of play. You know, the guys we've struggled with lately are the quick passing games, right? The USC's, the UCLA's, the guys that are getting the ball out of their hands quickly, because we're built to get to the passer, right? We're a stunt, a blitz, a create chaos in the middle, get to the passer. The quick game kills that. And you guys just don't have much of a quick game. So I do think that, you know, that side's going to be a pretty good matchup. Go Nebraska, vice versa. You guys' defense is always really good. I mean, it's so solid is the way it goes. We're struggling a little bit on offense. I'm not sure we're going to be able to put up 25 points, 28 points in that kind of weather against your guys' team. But I have optimism that we're going to be able to score 17 plus, you know, and that's kind of where I'm looking at this game being a 17 to 21 type of ball game.
It's always close. I mean,
it's always going to come down to a fourth quarter possession, right? That's where it's going to come down to.
What you're telling me is that the under is a lock for it. It's at 39 and a half.
I mean, I'd be shocked if both teams scored over 20 points. I mean,
I would
what honestly, it feels like.
I'd be shocked.
Honestly. Hot take, Searles. Maybe not hot take. The Bob has a better home court advantage than Memorial Stadium does.
Not a hot take.
The Vanny Center is rocking.
Yeah, not a hot take, dude.
I was there for a Wisconsin game the other night.
Yeah. Dude, call me if you're in town.
I thought about it. I was
fucking
like,
15 minutes. I know, from the dude.
We were there, and I was like, "Damn it! I should have said something to Searles." Yeah,
go and grab a beer or something,
bro. It was.
That place is awesome, though, isn't it,
bro? I'm the biggest. I'm just a fan of like volleyball in general.
Yeah, me too.
And that's the Mecca, right? Jesus Christ, is that awesome. A sick environment? I mean, like it was. Electric.
Yeah, no, that place is absolutely nuts. And I mean, we used to play in the Coliseum when I was in school, and I'd go to all the games. And I mean, my wife and my mother-in-law love it, and so we go. But man, the seats up there are tight. I do not fit in those seats.
No,
I don't.
They put Wisconsin in an absolute coffin the other night. Oh, so unbelievable.
Blendered.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be weird. There's gonna be a lot of running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, it's a quick game.
The problem is it's going to be a lot of TV timeouts. you see a lot of that orange hat guy going like this in the corner, like, hey, it's been a 9-minute drive. We got to fit in two TV timeouts in here.
My favorite is the back to back. They go to a TV timeout, they come back, they kick off, touchback, another TV timeout. Fuck.
Oh.
Are you guys going to the game?
No. I'm going, yes.
I'll be doing a Thanksgiving with my family that night, and the game will be the highlight. We'll be watching on the TV.
I'll be in Cincinnati, so I'll be out to dinner with a client during the game, unfortunately. But you do what you got to do.
So you're gonna be eating a ribeye.
Oh yeah, on the company card, baby.
Love it. Jealous. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a lot of analysis. I think this thing has come down to last year we beat you guys with like a walk on kicker to like 13-10. Racino's hit one. Duncan hit one. We've beat you guys on like walk-off field goals three of the last five times we've won.
Yep.
We've got another great kicker in Drew Stevens, and he's got the biggest leg probably since Marshall Kane, which is over 10 years now. So
he's probably got a bigger one.
It's damn close. I'd love to see it in person.
Dude, he is a weapon for you guys. Just like I think our punter's a weapon. Buscini. Oh,
Buscini.
Like, yeah, Brian Buscini is a major reason why we've been able to stay in games. I mean,
Buscini is he is
winning, spreading across the Midwest.
Yeah,
he's a top 10 punter in college for sure.
I completely agree.
And our guy's close as a freshman too. Dakin's been really good, but Buscini. The other day we're listening to the game, I was like, dude, this fucking Buscini guy, he can boot it now. Could be a lot of punts.
Oh, I would assume. What do you want to say? 10 punts total.
Oh yeah, over.
Over.
Yeah. I would say closer to 12.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, we don't really give predictions on this show, but my prediction is going to be a 3-point game.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a safe prediction. I mean, because even when we were in our lean years and you guys were in your good years, it was always a game.
Still.
Right? Yeah. Like, that's the great thing about college football is when you get to weeks like this, I mean, rivalry week, everything's out the window. Yep. Right? Auburn could beat Alabama this week. 100% could happen. They're stride. They're feeling good off coming off the A&M game, right? They go there. I don't think Michigan has a chance against Ohio State this year. I mean, I think Ohio State is rocking and rolling, but you never know.
20-point line on that game, by the way. We're going to get to the We're going to get to the world famous Ward's winners here in just a second. But yeah,
so what does Iowa do? How does Iowa win this game? Right? If Iowa beats Nebraska on Friday, how do they do it?
They don't beat themselves and let Nebraska beat themselves. It's how we've won this game, I feel like, majority of the time the past decade.
Yeah.
We win turnovers, we win penalties, we win field position.
We grab a couple dumb throws from Rayola and snag them. Dakin and Stevens are great on special teams. We probably kick two or three long field goals on drives where we just can't get inside your 30. We play field position, and we probably require and have the ability to put one long drive together where Caleb Johnson gets in the end zone.
Or just maybe he just brings one, breaks one tackle, and he's off.
Sure.
One explosive.
Yeah. And then our defense has really one of their, it's been a tale of two games. We have one of our good games versus one of our two or three bad games this year. And then I think we come out on top of that. 5.5-point spread, as I look at it here, you know, two or three of those points are probably Kinnick Stadium. And
yeah,
there you go. So how does Wisconsin win if they're the ones that come out on top?
You mean Nebraska?
Or Wisconsin, Nebraska. Sorry,
fuck Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for Nebraska, in order for us to win, we have to win the turnover battle.
Yeah.
Right, because we're not going to go 75, 80 yards on your defense time and time again. Right, we need to get a turnover at the 40, and we convert that into 7 points. Right, that's the recipe for which Nebraska has a chance to come out in this game. And I agree with you. We can't have a disaster on special teams, right? We've had a couple punts blocked this year, right? Mm. So we've put that on tape. You guys are great at special teams. They're going to test us on our punt protection. We've had some kicks blocked this year, right? Those are the kind of disaster type plays that we have to avoid. And then offensively, we have to find ways to create explosive plays, right? Which against you guys is tough. And really, we haven't been able to do it really all year, right? Whether that's a 25 yard plus throw, or you know, a 12 plus yard run. That's kind of how I look at explosive plays.
That's how we've always graded them as well,
right? And we just have to have two or three of those throughout the game to get ourselves into scoring position, because this isn't gonna be a game where we can just go, hey, first and 10, second and 6, third and 4, convert. Like, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
we have to skip some third downs in there and get the ball pushed down the field.
And it's not going to be a game like you guys had with Wisconsin last week either, because
that team gave up.
Even on a team that didn't, if you beat them that way, Iowa just never loses that way.
No. And I don't think that we're not that team. We're not that team that's going to scare you to go put 40 on you.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. Right. I think that we did enough last week to make Iowa go, okay, if we let them get hot and let them get in a rhythm, Dana can cook some stuff up.
Yeah.
Right. But I think you guys come after us, because UCLA put it out there. Hey, they went cover zero multiple times and we had no answer for it. I would be shocked if you guys don't come after Rayola early in this game and try and get him rattled.
It'd be interesting
to see. We're not typically a heavy blitzing team.
You're not. But why? That's kind of what you guys are. You're really good coaches and you guys understand how to rattle young quarterbacks. Right. So why, if they're not a heavy blitz team all week long, hey, they're going to send four, maybe five, first third down, here comes six. Oh, right. Like, there's some panic in a young kid's eyes on a major stage. I that's what I'd do if I played Rayola. I would try and get after him early, because you get him on the ground a few times. Kids from Arizona, this is going to be the first cold game played in. Right. I mean, we haven't had a cold game yet this year.
Yeah, our guy Dylan has not experienced what he's about.
You were in Nebraska on Saturday last week. It was gorgeous,
beautiful.
I mean, it was 58 degrees, 60 degrees. I was sitting in a deer stand, pissed off because it was so hot, right? Like, but he has not had what is it supposed to be, like 28, 30?
It's going
to
be a high of 30. Wind chill is going to be in the teens.
Right. He has not played in that yet. That's a whole new experience for that young man.
Yeah.
So if I'm Iowa, I'm going to try and get him on the ground a few times. Be like, this ground's really hard and cold, right? Like, I don't really enjoy this. And I've got a bruised back, right? He's got a little banged up back, missed some time. I think that if they get to him early, it's going to be a long day for the Huskers.
Bring in Heinrich Harburg.
Yeah, come on in, Heinrich.
Hey, when he comes in, by the way, they run.
Yeah, it's a pretty good tendency that we're not going to let him put the ball in the air because we watched that movie last year and we know how it ends.
Every time he comes into the game, because they will use him sparingly, I'll just yell, Harper, because he's dating Harper Murray.
Yeah, Harper Murray.
And my wife gets a kick out of that. So
major,
there you go.
Major come up for him.
Oh, yeah.
Major punt coverage there. She might make more money than he does.
Good for my boy. That's how you... There you go, listeners of the pod. Two sides of the thing. If the Huskers are going to win, if the Hawks are going to win, that's how it's going to look.
It is exciting that we know it's going to be like a competitive game. Yeah. Right? There's been multiple years I've done this show where I'm just like fake juicing it as I go through it, right? But I mean, I think both of us really do feel that our team has a chance to win this game.
If you guys win the game, they finish with the same record.
Right. And talk about, I mean, 7 wins for Nebraska in a second year under Matt Rhule. Fucking huge win.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a huge win for recruiting. Yeah. Right. That's a huge win for going into the offseason. And then you get to a bowl game with a chance for 8. Come on. I mean, what more do you want from a guy in year 2?
Sure. I do worry about expectations and the way that college coaches don't get a lot of time nowadays. Like we're going to have a conversation about Rhule's ceiling and where this thing can go and what Nebraska fans can realistically hope to expect long term. But that brings us, Jay, to our favorite segment. It's world famous. Everybody knows it.
Can I say one thing to that,
sure,
real quick?
Go for it.
You guys underestimate the money that's in this state.
Oh, no. We know you have lots of money.
The money that is Nebraska? In this state that is willing to pour into the program makes me think that the Rhule ceiling is actually very high.
Okay.
Because there's
Warren Buffett, a big Cornhuskers fan.
Dude, there's, I mean, Larry the Cable Guy has a box suite in the stadium. Right.
O-line committee, 30,000 subs. O-line
committee, 30,000 subs. You know, we're well on our way. You know, and the NIL space in Nebraska is very good.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to help us tremendously as things continue on here.
For sure. I would agree with that. DJ Kevin. Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what. That's a throwback to Jay's time right there.
Oh, absolutely.
All
dude.
I do is win. I mean, we don't.
Every high school, every single high school halftime varsity warm up during the JV game.
Yes, sir.
100% out there in the layup lines with the one guy that could dunk.
And you're in the shorts are so long, by
so
the way.
Long, so bad. You got the full warm up sweats on, the snap away pants. Oh yeah,
and you just, I'm here for it. And you have no idea how actually bad you are at basketball.
So atrocious,
unbelievable. I've got some games. I didn't do well last week, and I've kind of had a tough little skid here at the end. I'm going to stay positive, both in attitude and record. We are going to start this week. I usually start this segment, Jeremiah. I'm going to go to the Minnesota-Wisconsin game. I see a 2.5. It's early in the week, by the way, for those listening. I'm going to drop this podcast sometime on Wednesday, I think. So you're going to get it a little earlier than you would because we got the Friday game. Minnesota's not a bad football team.
Not at all.
Wisconsin's not a good football team. Wisconsin's favorite here, 2.5 points. I'm taking Minnesota in camp.
I don't understand that at all.
Wisconsin's another one of those teams that just can't figure out. It's like, yeah, they go toe-to-toe with Oregon. They get blown out by Nebraska and Iowa. And it's like,
it's confusing.
No idea what's going on.
And maybe the books know more than me here. They usually do. They're -2.5, but I'm taking Minnesota. Give me the points there, 2.5. Gophers cover, maybe win that outright. And that's a trophy game, right? What do they play for?
That is the X, I believe.
X.
The comically large X.
Yeah. Kev, you influenced me earlier. You're like, so the lock of the week is the under. It's 39.5 on DraftKings right now. I'm going to take that under. Cold ball game. Iowa, Nebraska. I think it was 13-10 last year. There's been so many outcomes like that. Give me the under. Friday in Kinnick Stadium. Where's my team? Army. Just tough one. Tough one last week.
Boat raced.
And it's time for the troops to stand up and fight. They gotta have a good comeback this week. UTSA at home. -7. Army -7. I'll take that to cover. And then I'm going to do one more. It was in the SEC. Oh, yeah. The dude. Auburn, Alabama. Auburn +11.5. Bama struggling. Give me that one.
Jaden Milroe's not an NFL quarterback. Can't convince me otherwise.
He's
had like an objectively terrible year throwing the ball.
Anthony Richardson.
I'm like a deer, but
it's so bad.
I'm taking Auburn as my last pick there. They're going to cover. It's going to be a fun rivalry game. Mm. Close. Maybe not as close as Iowa, Nebraska, but it'll be a close one. They'll keep it within 10.
I'll go here before you list off every game of rivalry weekend here, Grant.
We have a lot. I'm going to be honest.
Shocked. I got ND -7.5 at USC. They need an impressive win to better their seeding. I think they stay hot and they make short work out of the Trojans. I've got South Carolina +2.5 at Clemson. I think South Carolina is one of the sneaky good teams of college football this year.
Yeah.
They should have won that LSU game and they might have been on the fringe for a playoff run themselves. I've also got ASU -8.5 at Arizona. One of the hotter teams in the Big 12 looking to cap it off and secure a spot. So I think they play well.
Which is atrocious. It's a travesty.
Crazy.
Yeah. The Big 12 should not get a seat at the table.
Not this year.
No. Well, yeah, no. If Army had only lost by 2 touchdowns last week, they probably wouldn't have. Because Army and Boise would be ranked ahead of the Big 12 champion.
Mm-hmm. Do you send in Tulane in instead if they win the American?
Maybe. Sure.
Sure.
They're competitive versus Kansas State and some SEC team.
Oklahoma.
That's right. And then I got the Iowa under as well.
Okay. There we go. Buckle up for this one, Joe.
Buckle up.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm going to be honest. I think Rivalry Week means dogs are barking, and I picked several of them, except for this one, though. I like Clemson to start against South Carolina. I know we do trash Dabo a lot, but I don't know if you guys – the rankings came out when we started the show. They're the first team out right now.
And they, South Carolina?
No, Clemson is. Clemson's the first team out. And that just tell me, I think that they're still in contention for the playoff, definitely. And also, I didn't even realize until this week that they can still make the ACC championship. So a lot on the line. I'm taking Clemson -2.5. And also the under 49, I like both defenses a lot. Kentucky +4.5 versus Louisville. I'm going to take Kansas -1.5. I think they go to a bowl game. I think they're going to go to the Liberty Bowl and play another fantastic game like they did last time there. Cal +13.5. My soul just says that they beat SMU this week, and I don't know why. Kind of a weird spot. Like, they've had it clinched for 2 weeks now, SMU, so I feel like there's just destined for something bad to happen there. Arkansas +3.5. I have USC also, Kevin. I feel bad. I think I have the opposite of a lot of these on your list, Kevin. I feel a little bad about it because I like this. I like this to be a team thing, you know, where we all work together,
where we can all win
for each other.
At least somebody's going to win. So
someone will win. But I took USC there. I feel like 7.5 is just screaming. I also took Texas A&M +5.5, Bowling Green -2, Ohio State -21, Arizona +8.5. I'm sorry, Kevin. I truly am. UTSA +6.5. And then Michigan State -1, and then I'm done. There's a lot going on there, but
when it's going to be a fun week. It's hilarious because you roll through that and you say, I'm sorry, Kevin, I truly am, and I believe you. I really like
I want us to have a rooting interest together. Like, I want us to work together on this.
Sure.
And we all can win. That's what I want.
I know.
You might have a gambling addiction, Grant.
I think the word is hobby.
Are you profitable? Right, you're profitable this year, right?
Grant's profitable.
You want to get the? We can get the records.
Yeah, pull
the. Do you want the records? Okay.
What do you think? If you're profitable, Charles,
it's not a problem.
We give us your pick on 39.5 on Friday.
I'll take the under.
Under, and I assume you're going to take.
I'll take the Huskers. I'll
Nebraska take the Huskers. To cover 5.5.
Yep, I'm taking Huskers to win straight up.
I am surprised that 9's a lot bigger than I thought it'd be.
Gotcha.
I think.
Now, I think
Kevin's right. I think if it's in Memorial, it's probably Iowa -2.5.
Grant, is this a situation where Vegas is begging you to take Nebraska and they just know something that Iowa's going to come out and win by 10?
I don't really think it's like that, but our records are like one game apart. Maybe it's like if Nebraska was favored by like 3 points somehow, then God, probably. Grant. But what?
56.
Hey, we have a system. We have to trust the system.
Accuracy by volume, maybe.
There's a formula, right? Yes. We only have so many games in a season. We have to use them wisely. We cannot waste games.
Grant's
more fish.
Grant squeezes every little drop of toothpaste out of that squeeze.
No doubt. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
That's it.
Hey, if I lose, if Nebraska loses, I need a Hawk shirt, and I will wear it next time I come on the pod.
Oh, we can get you a Hawk
shirt. If Nebraska wins, I will send all of you Big Red shirts.
Oh,
every single one of you will get a nice Go Big Red shirt, and we will all join together in the off-season pod.
Okay,
that's a deal. Right. We'll t-shirt bet. That's how we did Nebraska. That's how we did the NFL locker rooms.
Yeah,
that's a good bet.
T-shirt bets are good bets.
We'll accept that.
You don't have like a mascot head we could use instead. You don't have those lying around.
We do not want.
I think I got a little red. I think there's a little red guy running around here.
We do not want little red. That creepy motherfucker can stay.
What about one of those hats that has like the corn?
The corn hats?
Yeah. I'd wear hats. I would wear that.
Those are good. The Cobb hats.
Searles, we appreciate you.
Oh, it's always good to be on, my man.
Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Everybody listen, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Black Friday. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, the turkey, the football game. Stay inside. Stay warm. We'll be back to recap this game on Monday. Until then, go Hawks and don't listen to what Jay is about to say.
Go Big Red.
See you, boys and girls. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.